Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. In 2017, we're celebrating 25 years of helping people win. Today, we have a great word from Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
And the message today is just simply the question, what's a win? I think all too often we go through life, and unless we're in school or we're in a sport, we have a difficult time defining a win, defining what a win is. And today I want to talk to you about a win, just what's a win. Because honestly, I believe you're winning a lot more than you think you are. And I know I am. And I believe God's called us to win and listen and win every day. Paul writes and says, but thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. That we always win. Why? Because we're Christians. But listen, in life, there are scoreboards that really honestly attribute to kind of the deeds of the flesh and not so much the arm of the Lord, but the arm of the flesh. And we can't be, our lives or the quality of our lives aren't determined by those scoreboards at all. And I want to let you know that. It's important that you understand that this, we organize things as much as we can at this church. But we're not just an organization. We're a corporation in the state of Oklahoma, a not-for-profit corporation, and we have a 501c3, and we're church, and we're the whole thing. But we do have 30 acres and 250,000 square feet of building, and then other church properties and some pulpits God took it. But listen, we're not just an organization. We're an organism. And you have to understand that this church is living and breathing and growing. And really, honestly, I believe personally, and that we started 25 years ago with 6 people. And it began to grow. I mean, it was like this where it was growing. And it was awesome because there were so many people. Some of you guys were here 25 years ago. Well, that first year or two, I probably had 50 lunches with you. You know, it's interesting. It was just, yeah, let's go to lunch. Rog, let's go to lunch. And we met for lunch and we'd do things. And Mason, your dad, we'd go to lunch and be a few times a week. Well, now, my goodness, there's people, I don't know that I've been to lunch with Roger in 3 or 4 years. And he's an elder here because the amount of lunches haven't increased, but the amount of people have increased. And people will say, well, it's just changed and everything has changed. And it's like, yeah, but listen, at face value, that's true. Things change. But listen, you look at it a little deeper, the news gets a little better. And we're going to look a little deeper today. You guys want to go a little bit deeper today? We're going to look a little deeper today because you realize it's not just changed lives, but it's growing and healthy lives. Man, if you're healthy, you're going to be growing. And this is a place where there's a demand on you to grow. And I'll tell you, there's guys that tap out of this place. There's guys that'll say, I don't want to pay the price because there's a price you pay to grow. I don't want to pay the price to grow, so I'd just as soon go find my bar stool. And you know what? I'm telling you, if you got them, smoke them. It's a free country. And I want to thank everybody in here that served in the armed forces, especially people. Let me tell you, I understand freedom's not free. And I understand that there are men and women who give their lives for us to live in this country. And let me just tell you something. I don't take that for granted. And man, I pray for our president and the people that are in authority over us. And I'll just tell you this. Whoever is elected is my president. And I may not agree with some of the things that most of them have ever done. And so a lot of them I never voted for. But let me just tell you, I'm still an American, and I understand how important that is. And it's not just patriotism. Man, I see the role of America in spreading the gospel all over the world. And let me just tell you, a country that's free, it's not just us being able to come here and worship God freely. We get to go on the street corners and we get to go places and preach freely. And you understand that that's pivotal. And I don't throw down like that often enough probably, but I'm just telling you, It's important for us to get behind who's in leadership in our country. And whether we like it or not, I'll tell you, most of my adult life, I haven't liked decisions people have made that have governed us. But let me just tell you something. I'm still an American, and I'm still going to back them. And I'm still, and there you go. I might have just thinned the herd, but whatever. But I got a mouthful. Don't clap. I got to preach. But you understand that in order for us to change, we've got to grow. And in order for us to grow, we've got to be healthy. There's people say, well, I don't like all the change that's happened. Well, I get it, because you're not getting all the attention that you used to get. And it's like raising kids. You know, when Davis was the baby, man, and Davis was the apple of everybody's eye, and then Mason was born, and he's the big brother now, and that shifts things. You know, the big brother now, he's got to look out for the little brother, and the big brother can't leave a mess. Matter of fact, he's got to clean up his little brother's mess. And it's not as much fun being the big brother as it is being the baby. But as you grow, and as you're healthy, and as you grow, that happens. And see, we have to understand, we have to look at our lives, and we have to say, wait a second, am I growing? Am I getting better? Even Jesus, the Bible says he grew in wisdom and stature and in the knowledge of him. See, we've got to grow in wisdom and stature. Are you doing that? Does this place help you with that? Because I think it's important in the 23rd Psalm, and it's very poetic. Most of you guys could recite it. You've heard it 1,000 times. I'm hoping that I'm going to express it in a little bit different vernacular and a little bit different of a cadence than you've ever heard it before. David pens this, and let me tell you how deep and passionate this psalm is. I mean, this is as deep as it gets in our relationship with God. We're going deep today. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You think about a shepherd. See, there's this philosophy going on out there, and this kind of, I don't know, mystic, goofy spirit animal. People have spirit animals. You might have a spirit animal. Don't come talk to me about it, okay? Because very few people come and say, you know, I'm a rodent. Or you know what I am? I'm a gnat. I'm a pesty gnat. That's my spirit animal. But because some of you are, okay? So if you really want to go there, I guess we can. But you understand that here we are, that we're referred to in one of three, as one of three animals in the Bible: sheep, goats, and wolves. Okay, sheep, goats, and wolves. The ultimate place for us to be is a sheep. You understand? I don't want to be a sheep. Sheep are totally reliant upon a shepherd. Shepherd used dogs to herd the sheep. I don't want to be reliant upon some guy that's all dirty and dusty with a staff and some dogs. Man, a goat. You want to be a goat? You just go eat wherever you want to eat. Man, I know when I was a kid, in high school, this buddy of mine, we were going to go out. He said, I can't. I'm repairing fence. I said, well, let me help you. What are you doing? He said, I've got a stretch of barbed wire that I've got to replace. I'm like, and in my mind, I'm thinking, does barbed wire wear out? It's barbed wire. Nothing messes. No, some goats ate that barbed wire. I'm like, what? And they'll eat tin cans, they'll eat whatever, they'll eat whatever. You guys all know people that'll just eat whatever. Man, they'll just take it hook, line, and sinker. And then there's wolves. And let me tell you, wolves come dressed in sheep's clothing. And you can tell somebody's a wolf if they're always at the boundary, if they're always pushing the boundaries. And really, honestly, wolves are designed to at the very least, make sheep uncomfortable, because what they do, they're canines, so they mark their territory. So even when they're not around, the sheep can still sense that a wolf's been there. But you know what? They want to devour the wolf. Man, there's people that come in sheep's clothing in a church. There's people that come and they're wolves just to devour sheep, and we've seen it over the years. A dozen times at least, and I've even gone to the point where it's like, God, help me identify wolves quicker than I ever have. You know, yeah, there's people that are goats, and I don't mind a goat once in a while. You got to slap across the forehead with a 2x4. I mean, it's kind of how it works with goats, okay? But sheep are different, okay? Now listen to this. This is what's amazing. In the second verse of Psalm 23, the psalmist writes and he says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Stop right there. He doesn't just provide the green pasture and allow me to lie down. No, what does it say he does? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. See, what's interesting about this, sheep are deathly afraid of water, especially running water. So any water that they see, man, I don't think that there's that any of you guys that have sheep, I don't know that you do, but you've been around. I don't know that sheep all decide, let's go take a dip. Okay, I don't think sheep do that, okay? They're not that kind of an animal. But they're deathly afraid of running water. So any water that they see, they stay away from it. So what does he do? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Why? I don't want to. I want to go where I want to go. He leads me beside still waters. Man, sheep have to be led to water. Man, if you as a sheep, if you're off on your own, you're going to stay away from water. Well, if you're not hydrated, and what does water signify in the Word? The Word. let me rephrase that like I'm a professional preacher. What is water signified in the Bible? The Word. The washing of the water of the Word. He restores my soul. Why? Because we go through life and there are people, man, some of you guys have had people that never should have protected your heart and soul, that have reached in and grabbed a hunk of your soul and took it with them. Man, there's been people that you've allowed in, and man, their big old feet, they come and just tromp on your soul and just leave all these prints on your soul and bruise your soul. Well, no, God, what does he do? Man, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. I'm telling you, my soul's being restored today because of God's word. Your soul's being restored. Man, you're getting that much stronger. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. But listen, not just for us to be good people, not just for us to be, no, for his name's sake. Man, any of you guys that were named after your dad, there's a namesake there. Man, you guys that have had sons, man, there's a namesake there. And let me just tell you, all of our kids have a namesake. Whether it's my granny Shear or it's Grandma Jane, it's Janie, or Taylor's named after me. See, there's a namesake attached to that, and that's special. You have to understand, you are not just God's child, you are God's namesake. It's for his name's sake that he leads us in paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to fear no evil because the Lord my God is with me wherever I go. With his rod and his staff, he comforts me. Think about that. He's got that rod and that staff. What? To fend off the intruders. Man, he comforts me. God, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know what I want to say? I want to say, God, you got to take this enemy. God, you got to remove this enemy from my life. God saying, no, would you just relax? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Why? Because he's going to prepare a table for me. Now listen, in the presence of my enemies. Man, you got enemies of your soul and enemies in your life and enemies, and you're like, God, you got to take this from me. And you know what? God's going to say the same thing he said to Paul. My grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. There's an enemy in your life. Man, God's going to prepare a table for you in the presence. He's going to take the idea of that enemy, and he's going to rub his nose in the defeat that he suffered at the hands of Jesus. Man, that's how incredible God is. You anoint my head with oil. My cup, what's oil? It's the Holy Spirit. Do you understand your emotions, your will, your thought process, your mindset, your thoughts? Man, the Holy Spirit, God anoints your head with oil. Your cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you'll dwell in my house forever. And then he says, amen. See, we dwell in the house of the Lord, God's way of doing things, God's way of performing things, God's way of dealing with things. Man, and we get to be called his. I'm God's namesake. Oh my gosh. You know, Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5, and I'm just going to give you the first phrase in 1 Peter 5, 2. He said, shepherd the flock of God who is among you. See, what this is, this message today is a shepherding kind of message. Man, I want to make you lay down in green pastures, and I want to lead you beside still waters. They're not going to hurt you. It's going to be change. It's going to be something you're not familiar with, and you don't really love to be around that water because, man, you can't swim and you don't trust it. But let me just tell you, what God's going to do is, man, God's going to show his hand in your life today. And you think about the idea of restoring your soul. You think about the idea of you not living and functioning with the deficit that the world has left you with. In Matthew 28, and I'll start at verse 18, Jesus came and he spoke to him and he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And then he says something powerful. He says, go therefore, but listen, don't just go and just kind of throw it out there, crusade-like. No, he says, go and listen, make disciples. Write that down. Go therefore and make disciples. Now we go back to Psalm 23, and it says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Why? To be nourished. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. He makes me to lie down and make disciples. Let me tell you, it's the same idea. The same ideologies here. You've got to make it. Why? Because disciples, the root word is discipline. Man, we need to have the discipline in our life, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This has nothing to do with water. This has everything to do with immersing our lives in the Father, God's love. Let me tell you, if we pooled and listed all the daddy issues in this room, oh my gosh, there's 10 lifetimes of issues we got to deal with collectively that's here. But you think about this and look at it, that now, no, wait a second, in the name of the Father, he doesn't just say God, he says the Father. Remember, I'm a namesake now. Man, I've been written into his will. I'm an heir of God, and I'm a joint heir with Jesus. Man, everything in heaven, I'm a benefactor of. Teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. See, what's interesting about this is there, you could go to other churches and you go to other places. You can find other people that have different things that are convictions in their lives. Man, in order to be on staff, in order to be an intern at this church, you sign a code of conduct. And that code of conduct is essentially the code of conduct that Sandy and I live by, that the elders of this church live by. And you'll think, well, I don't think it's that big a deal. I ought to be able to go do that. But no, what did Jesus tell us here? He said, go and teach them everything I've commanded you. See, Mark, if you're not living it, you can't teach me it. If you're not, if it's not a part of your life, you can't, yeah, you can talk to somebody about it, but once people see through it, they're like, wait a second. Remember, let me tell you, what does not work, father leadership in the kingdom is different than father leadership in the world. Father leadership in the world is going to say, hey, don't do what I do what I say. But no, the kingdom is, man, here's what Paul said, the things you see me do, you do. The things you hear me say, you say. See, that's how this works. That's why there's a whole different level. The Bible says, you who want to teach, man, you're held to a stricter standard. See, understand, you can't be like everyone else, let me tell you. And that standard, let me just tell you, gets stricter and stricter and stricter and stricter as you go. See, and the understanding is, the more people, it's not just the more issues and the more problems, the more people, the stricter the standard. Because the Bible says, woe be unto anybody who causes a little one to stumble. You'd be better to tie a millstone around your neck and throw yourself in the water. But see, we have to look at this and understand, this is not just about conversion. This is not just about attendance. This is about making disciples. And you know what? God knows you don't want to. And you know what? Let me just tell you, there's an ideology that you'll think, man, I don't have to. I could do all that stuff and still go to heaven. Do you understand there's a price to pay for everything? There is. And the church is not dependent upon leadership. I believe everything rises and falls on leadership, but I believe the church is dependent upon discipleship. That's what the church is dependent upon. So we'll get up and we'll say, hey, it's time to give. You know what you do when it's time to give? Take a wild guess. You give. And you'll say, wait a second, I sit in two services. Well, tear that dollar bill in half, put one half in the first service and one half in the second service. No, if you're a disciple, every time that bucket goes by, you put something in it. No, if you're a disciple, guess what? You tithe. You inherit some money, 10% of it goes to the church. You earn a wage, 10% of it goes to the church. You find a $10 bill in the ground, a dollar goes to the church. Why? Because you're a disciple. That takes discipline. You know what that does? That causes you to really examine yourself, your motives. Man, if you're thinking, I'm going to save and I'm going to get $100 and I'm going to go buy that thing because it's $100, but you know what? You tithe $10 and now you got $90. That causes you to pause and think about that purchase. Because we live in a day and age where how many purchases do you really consider? How many purchases, I hate to go this deep with you, but I said I'd go deep. How many purchases do you actually pray about? How many? Man, I'm just going to give you an example, but Sandy drives an 11-year-old vehicle, and we bought it used, and I want to buy her a new vehicle, and she said, we're not doing it this year. We've got one more semester of tuition with Kennedy, who's in London right now. God bless Kennedy, protect her in Jesus' name on this mission trip. She oversaw a music festival this weekend that had 22,000 people there. And I'm just thanking God we didn't read about it in the news, aren't you? But listen, and I said, well, Sandy, come on. She's like, no, we're not going to do it till the end of the year. See, you understand, what is that? That's discipline. See, understand your life. We can go and get whatever we want to. Someone's going to loan you that money, and it feels like it's free money. But let me tell you, there's a big price to pay. Man, if we got into credit card debt in this service and talked about discipline, oh my gosh. But see, we understand that in our lives, when I make decisions on my own, or when you do, let me tell you what's going to happen, Coach. Anonymity is always going to produce sin. Always. When someone doesn't know your name, when someone doesn't know who you are, you can throw caution to the wind. It's real talk, guys. I'm going to take a couple minutes, have a men's meeting in here with you. That's how we talk in our men's meetings. That's why there's only 250 guys there. I'd rather be anonymous. I'd rather be able to. When I start commenting on something anonymously on the internet, you need to stop listening to me from this pulpit. If I can't put my name on it, I don't want to say it. See, isolation breeds sin. So anonymity and isolation, let me tell you, our life is not our own. My life is not my own. My body is Sandy's. Her body is mine. My life is not mine. My life is God's. And you know what he's done? He's done this. It's like my life. Coach Fulmer, congratulations. You won the Summit League, and tomorrow at ORU, tomorrow they get selected to what regional. I don't care where you go. Just go win, okay? That's what I care. But listen, here's our life right here. It's a deck of cards now. Jeremy Bedell, his life is a deck of cards. And here's what God's doing with his life. He's dealing that deck of cards out. And Jeremy's going, but, wait a second. That's the Ace of Hearts. No, the Ace of Hearts has gone to her now. See, you understand, man, the best part of our life is going to people that are never even going to thank us. The best part of our life is going to go to people that don't like us. The best part of our life is going to go to people that we're going to have to turn the other cheek because they just put a mash on the one side. See, we understand this. My life's not my own. I give it away. That's what our life is. So forget your money, forget your service. Your whole life is meant to give away. See, discipling connects people. And it dispels anonymity and isolation. That's what a true disciple. Our life's not our own. Man, I just need some me time. What? Jesus took his disciples. Do you really honestly think that Jesus thought it was a good plan to take his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane? Do you think that he went in and go, you know what, I'm going to take those 12 fellows with me to pray. They're going to be awesome. Those guys are soldiers. Those guys are warriors, aren't they, Raj? Those guys are soldiers, man. They gave up everything. And he comes back out. He'd sweat blood. He was praying, God, if this cup has been passed from me, but not my will, your will. He's given his life. He was about to be shredded. They were going to punch him in the face, and they were going to whip him, and they were going to spit in his face, and they were going to jam a crown of thorns on his head. And he knew all of that was coming. He knew that was the next step of faith. I'm going to take a step of faith in my life. He knew that was the next step of faith. He comes out, and you know what they're doing? They're like this, like most of you guys are during church. Oh, Jesus, you done praying? How long do I have to be with this perverted generation? You couldn't tarry a dadgum hour. Well, Jesus, that hurts my feelings. I've been walking for over three years with you. I'm tired. I hadn't had a date in 3 years. This is crazy. The kingdom is all relational. It's covenant relationships. I'm in covenant with Sandy. I don't have any secrets. She didn't have any secrets. I'm in covenant with men in this room. I don't have secrets. I don't. Secrets aren't cool. Secrets are, write this down. Secrets are bad. By nature, they're bad. See, but I don't want a bunch of weeds growing in my life. I don't want a bunch of bad fruit hanging in my life. And you'll say, well, you can't judge me. Right, Bubba? You can't judge me. No, you can judge my fruit. And here, let's do the math. If the fruit's bad, the tree's bad. If the fruit's good, the tree's good. So I guess you can judge me. See, and the best discipleship that we can have, it's not in a program. It's close. It's covenant relationships and it's connection. This is a friendly church. We're going to host two different pastors groups at the beginning of June. People are going to kind of come in here and they want to learn the guts way, how we do things. And it's like, you know what? There's guys coming in and going, you know, I know we have to be a friendly church. I tell you, can I be real honest with you? I'm up to here with friendly church. I mean, it's like, because most friendly church is fake. It's like, okay, here's what we need to do. Harold, Caitlin, I need you to go to the front door and I need you to say hi to people, okay? That's your job today. So they'll go and they'll say, and they'll be really good, right? They'll go up and they'll shake people's hands and they'll be really good at it and they'll tell people hi. But then you walk in and no one else does. No, let me tell you what you need. Whether you're new here or you've been here 20 years, you need connection. You need somebody knowing what you're up to, what you're dealing with. You need somebody that you could take your shield and you could take your armor and you could lay it down. Say, here you go, here it's me. And that's not in a program. It's in true connection. The Bible says where every joint supplies. The true supply of my life is where I'm joined. And I'm not a good joiner. Joining's awkward for me. Because most of them aren't Cardinal fans. Most of them think that football should be two-hand touch. And I'm like, and I'm joining them? No. It's hard. But I want to ask you a question, and this is what I'm going to close with. While you're sitting here, are a couple of your closest friends in this room? Think about Sky Tuck and St. Paul as well. Are one or two of your closest friends here? Because that's how church works. If it's not, man, I know churches where pastors have had moral failures, where they've stolen money. The church is just splitting apart and people stay. And you ask them, you say, how do you stay there? Oh, my friends are there. That's how strong that is. See, in order for you to really be discipled, your closest friends have to be here. And you know what's funny? Man, I've got buddies that I went to high school and college with that I'll go back like to St. Louis or Kansas City and I'll see them, and some of them are watching right now, and I'll hook up with them. Next thing you know, we're telling old stories and old jokes, and we're laughing about stuff, and we're being vulnerable. It's so much fun. And invariably, one of them will say, "Man, Shear, we get back together, it's like we were never apart. Man, we're just in lockstep." And in my mind, I'm thinking, "You have no idea. I live in a completely different hemisphere than you. None of this is my life. Man, my life is here." My heart is here. My heart's with you. Man, Sandy and I, our heart's with your marriage. Our heart's with your children. Man, we're raving fans. But see, you have to understand that this has worked. But what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 2, he said, "So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God," but in the Amplified, it says this, "Not only did we give you the gospel of God, but we gave you our very souls because we're affectionately endeared to you." Man, it matters. Your life matters. I'm just telling you. Not only, we're not just preaching here. This isn't just something. No, this is an hour and 15 minutes a week that we do this. This is so that other hundreds of hours you're spending during the week, you're prevailing and you're winning and you're flourishing, and you're able to retrace your steps to green pastures and fresh water. Do you understand? There's muscle memory that we have, but there's spiritual memory that we have as well. There's faith memory that we have. Man, one of you guys gets diagnosed with something, I don't have to say, "Well, let me see the x-rays." I don't have to say, "Well, let's go get a second opinion." No, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go right to the Word. You're the head and not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. Greater is He who's in you than he who's in that report. There's reports out there. You're going to get medical reports. You're going to get scientific reports. And then there's a report of the Lord. Whose report are you going to believe? See, that's what this is about. But you'll come in and you'll say, "But I need some sympathy. I need you to sympathize with me. I can't find that place. I hurt for you." But sympathy is me identifying with your problem. Compassion is me identifying with the solution. Yeah, things may be bad for you right now, but you come back Wednesday night, you come back Sunday, you come back the following Wednesday night, you come the next Sunday, and I dare you for it to still be bad. We don't even need a month of services here. We got to change your muscle memory. We're going to change your faith memory. And you'll say, "Well, Pastor, you act like you don't deal with any doubt." Are you kidding me? I got to look at your mugs every week. Doubt comes with it. No, my call, the purpose of my life is attached to Him. I don't know Him. I'm trying to like Him. But I'm going to have to stand before God and make account for how He thinks. Not what He thinks, but how He does. See, and if you think about it, that's all these services are, is a better way to think. There's a higher way to think. The things that you think about that get you down, man, let's get that a little higher. Man, your marriage, your children all acting a fool, let's think a little higher. We can change that. Because the Bible says, "A way a man thinks, so he is." See, what's a win? What's a win? It's elevating your thinking. What's a win? It's getting out of the muck and the mire and allowing God to set your feet upon the rock of Christ Jesus. Man, that's a win. Man, you want to win? You're above and not beneath. You want to win? Man, you're going to get here and you're going to go, well, you can go serve the gods of your fathers back across the river. You can serve the gods of the people that are controlling the media and the society. Or you could trust Jehovah, the God who heals you, the God who provides for you, the God who gives you shelter, the God who brings your peace, the God who's your covering, the God who's your rear guard. Remember those things the things in life used to come and stab you in the back? They can't anymore now. God's your rear guard.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.